Our scripture reading today comes from John chapter 14, verses 15 to 21, as Jesus is still in his farewell to his disciples, getting ready, as he knows, for a journey to Jerusalem. If you love me, you will keep my commandments.
And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever.
Forever with you.
This is the Spirit of truth.
The Spirit of truth.
Whom the world cannot receive.
Because it neither sees him nor knows him.
You know him, because he abides with you.
And he will be in you.
I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you.
In a little while, the world will no longer see me.
But you will see me.
Because I live, you also will live.
On that day, you will know that I am in the Father.
And you in me.
And I in you.
They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me.
And those who love me will not be loved. Those who love me will be loved by my Father.
And I will love them and reveal myself to them.
I have gone the longest stretch of my pastoral career in not preaching ever since 1979, probably, before I was a summer pastor. So this is my first time preaching since August 20th, 2017. So I am honored and glad to share this with you today. No jargon, no gobbledygook, just 8 words of Christian values, purposes, and goals. Now, most mission statements, according to Kevin Starr of the Harvard Business Review, are awash in jargon and marble mouth pronouncements. He says, says any enterprise needs a short statement, no more than 8 words, and that includes a verb, target, and outcome. Jesus was a man on a mission. He healed the sick. He fed 5,000. He gave sight to the blind. He raised the dead. He washed the disciples' feet. And he commanded them to love one another. And he showed them the way to God. His mission was clear: to inspire and nurture the human spirit? No, that's not right. That's the mission statement of Starbucks. This international coffee company is on a mission to inspire and nurture the human spirit. One person, one cup, and one neighborhood at a time. Quite noble, almost spiritual. In the inspiration business, we Christians have some serious competition. Mission statements have become big business, with a wide range of organizations crafting them in an attempt to capture their own values, purposes, and goals. Now, the problem with most of them is they wind up sounding complex and boring. What do you think? Our challenge is to assertively network economically sound methods of empowerment so that we may continually negotiate performance-based infrastructures. Whew. Jesus, he would never want something quite that bland and uninspiring. So as followers of Christ, I believe we can do better. The scripture from John's Gospel provides us a very intimate view of Jesus and his disciples as Jesus prepares them for the road ahead. Now, Jesus knew that soon one of his closest followers was going to let him down. He was going to be betrayed, arrested, crucified. Jesus shares his last words with his closest friends. And so we can imagine Jesus calling them together to remember what had happened, what they had shared when light had come into the darkness of the world. With such a song, the disciples could go on, sustained by the memory of this one great life, waiting and hoping Jesus would return soon. Now, what Jesus proclaimed could be called my mission. May it be yours also. Those words would be much like the college lecture series where professors are asked to share what they wanted to share if it was going to be their last moment to share. Here at the table, Jesus says the same things over and over again. But the central word is love. The central word is love. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. Whoever does not love me does not keep my commandments. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another. Now, these words and images might provoke something in our own hearts and minds. And I hope they, if we're honest with ourselves, they will provoke something. And so what Jesus is doing is preparing his disciples for his life beyond what they will recognize anymore. He will be gone. He will be out of their presence physically. A well-known theologian once said, and his name was Rudolf Bultmann, what is this love which is directed to Jesus? Can the disciples still love him when he is gone? Can the next generation love him without having had a personal relationship with him? And so this is really critical. And that's what Jesus is trying to get through to them. What happens when I am gone? What happens when he is gone? Well, as we well know, loving Jesus was possible and is possible when Jesus is no longer present in the flesh. Now, in my reading on this particular passage, I found these words helpful in seeing how it is possible for the disciples to, in a sense, move ahead. Certainly, the resurrection made all the difference. It kind of brought everything into focus for the disciples. They could love Jesus not by clinging to some cherished memory of him, nor by retreating into some private experience of him. What calls them into this future ministry of being disciples of Jesus is by doing his works and by keeping his commandments. It's living what Jesus taught and demonstrated in his own life. This is the public love that we are to live. And when this happens, love wins. Not some private, fragile love that only is self-satisfaction. Michael Curry, you may have heard of him now, is the Episcopalian priest that preached at the royal wedding of Meghan and Harry last weekend. And he boldly shared a powerful sermon on, guess what? Love. So many places, he hit a home run. But at the very beginning, he shared a quote from Martin Luther King Jr., who said, "We must discover the power of love, the redemptive power of love. And when we discover that, we will be able to make of this old world a new world. Love is the only way." That almost makes you want to get up and go, "Yes, yes, amen." I want you to pause for a moment and think about times in your life when you have experienced the power of love, both in sharing it with others and when you have received love. And I think it is especially appropriate on this weekend when we remember those who are no longer present with us, especially those who have had an impact on our lives. Now, my own experience contains a number of examples of persons and communities that have opened up a new facet of love to me and provided a way for me to grow in my own faith and living the commandments and doing the work of Jesus. Oh, I've fallen short. I am a sinner. I am a sinner. But the grace of God has been so present in a multitude of times and ways. Day by day, I can declare the wonder of walking as a disciple of Jesus. We live in a time when we might want to throw up our hands and just succumb to the negativity and hate that permeates so much of our society. At times we grow weary, but if we are practicing using the power of God's love in our encounters, wherever they might be, at the Target, in our work, if we work outside the home, or in our neighborhood, and when that happens, love wins. Rob Bell wrote a book a number of years ago. The title is Love Wins. That's where I got my title. And it is his call for the church to reclaim the message of Jesus, to live out this mission. He says, "For God so loved the world." That's why Jesus came. That's his message. That's where life is found. He goes on to say, "There are a growing number of us who have become acutely aware that Jesus' story has been hijacked by a number of other stories. Stories Jesus isn't really interested in telling, because they have nothing to do with what he came to do. The plot has been lost, and it's time to reclaim." He says, "I've written this book for all those out there who have heard some version of the Jesus story that caused their pulse rate to rise, their stomachs to churn, and their hearts to utter these resolute words. I would never be a part of that." As Jesus reviews this manual of instruction in his farewell discourse to challenge these disciples to be a community of people who love Jesus and keep his commandments, he wanted them to understand that these actions are complementary, not contradictory. Loving and commandment-keeping are two sides of the same spiritual coin, revealing both ardor and order, affection and obedience. When that occurs, love wins. Tom Long, who's also a well-known preacher that I love to hear, shares a story of a father's mission to love his daughters, teach them about self-respect, and the larger mission of helping a racist society. The late Howard Thurman, who was dean of the chapel at Boston University, he was the first African-American professor at that institution, and a mentor and counselor to the leaders of the civil rights movement, attributed much of his own sense of dignity and vocation to his grandmother, a former slave who repeated to her young grandson a message she had heard in church. Over and over again, she told him, "You are somebody. You are somebody." She was being a witness to her grandson of a truth, the truth she heard in church. Once, when traveling through the South in the 1950s, Thurman was with his family, and they stopped for a rest for a few moments in a park along the highway. Now, his daughters immediately, and you as parents can relate to this, they saw a swing set, and they were immediately drawn to it, and they pulled their father toward that swing in order that they could enjoy it. They couldn't read the sign that was on the swing set. "White only by state law. White only by state law." So, sadly but patiently, Thurman told those little girls that they could not play on the swing set. This was their first encounter with the cruelty of racism, and they instantly burst into tears. So, much as his grandmother had done when he was a child, Thurman gathered his children into a warm embrace and said, "Listen, you little girls are somebody." What a mission. A mission of love and grace. He goes on to say, "In fact, you are so important and so valuable to God and so powerful that it takes the governor, the lieutenant governor, and the whole state police force to keep you girls off those swings." You know, one writer said, "The life of faith can bring us many challenges. Doubts set in, despair overwhelms us, and the whole notion of believing in God seems crazy. Jesus knew that his disciples would meet such days as this. So he told them that we're all tied together. We're tied together like branches of the vine, tied together by the Spirit of God. And when we recognize the power of God working in our midst, then we find God's Spirit hovering and inhabiting us with the possibility of changing us and the world around us. And once we know and experience the presence, that presence in all of life, because Jesus lives, we will live as well. And when we live, when we really live, love wins. That's a mission worth living." Amen. Forth with the love of God firmly planted in your heart, practice the peace of Christ, and when darkness gathers in your life, know that the Lord is with you. Go forth with the power of love, for it is God's message and foundation for life. Amen.